Y'all know what time it is. Y'all don't know, y'all better act somebody. Hat on, hat on, suit on, suit on, looking like a dapper don. Giving a microphone, dress, dress like a million bucks, buying things in its cups. Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey? Oh, everybody out there listening to me. Put your hands together. Oh, listen, Steve Harvey, why don't you join in?
I sure will. Good morning, everybody. Y'all listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only Steve Harvey got a radio show. Today is it, everybody. Okay? On a real positive note, today is it. Today is the day. You know, when I was in high school, you know, my mother was a Sunday school teacher until she passed. I would walk out the door every morning on my way to school, and my mother used to say, listen to me, son. Hey, don't forget, today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And, you know, I didn't think much of it. You know, it was just my mama being religious. You know, my mom's a spiritual woman. So, you know, I just took it as that. But as I've gotten older, man, you know, that's registered more and more with me. You know, today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. That's pretty cool, man. I mean, what better blessing will you get throughout the day than the fact that he allowed you to live and see another day? See, sometimes, man, when you're young, you don't pay no attention to that. But all you got to do is keep living. Keep watching some people that you know not be here anymore. Go to class reunions and they smaller. See people that you really loved that meant a lot to you leave this world. And all of a sudden, man, immortality starts to matter a great deal to you. Some of us learn this lesson sooner than others. But I know when you're young, man, you know, you think you're going to be here for a while. You think you got time to play around. You think you got time to get it together. You got time to make the mistakes, and you got time to chill. But man, oh, man, almost every full-blown adult that I know will tell you and have said these words right here many times. And I see, the reason I'm saying this is because I want you to hear them, because you're going to use them. Man, if I only knew then what I know now, do you know how many people have said those words right there? Because in time, man, you gain so much wisdom. Oh, but it ain't like nobody didn't tell you, though. See, that's the hooker. Somebody told you back then, hey, man, it's best to buckle down now. He said, hey, man, you better quit wasting time. Hey, man, don't stop taking your foot off the gas pedal. Hey, look, do your best at all times. You know, stop worrying about that. I'm telling you, son, in a minute, them clubs ain't going to mean nothing to you. In a minute, that going out all the time ain't going to mean nothing to you. I can't tell you how many times I heard all of it. I can't tell it to you. I can't tell you how many times I repeated to my kids. But, man, today is a different day, because today is the day that the Lord has made. So he gave you a shot today. If you woke up this morning or if you're finishing your day on your shift, he gave you a new day. Nothing bigger than the fact that he woke you up today. Now, why don't you do something about that? Why don't you take advantage of it? How about today? How about if you start today? How about if you stop hesitating today? How about if you stop delaying it today? How about if you stop procrastinating today? How about if you make today the day that you go for it? I mean, man, let's all just decide today. Let's go for it. Let's put forth a maximum effort today. How about today? I mean, really, man, what you doing? Look, man, take advantage of this blessing of waking up. Do something today. So many people are in the doldrums of life or are living in a rut or just merely existing instead of thriving simply because of one thing. You just won't do it today. If you would just start the process, man, start that business you always dreamed of. Go look into that other job you always yearned for. Go get the training you need to get the promotion, man. Go back to school, man. Go see what you need to do to lift yourself to the next level. Stop waking up every day seeing how it's going to go and start waking up and do something about how it goes. If you make one step, he'll make two. But you could, people talk about it all the time. Man, it seemed like you always getting a blessing. Oh, man, when you're talking to a person, listen to this. If you're talking to a person and it seems like there's always a blessing coming his way, let me tell you what that person doing. That person is putting one foot in front of the next. That person is putting forth some efforts out there. And that's the only way God can bless you. God can only bless you with your efforts. He can only put his finger on the thing that you are doing or attempting. That's all he can help you with. There are no jobs walking up to your door, knocking on your door. But if you beating the pavement, if you sending in the apps, if you online scouring somewhere to work, somewhere to get a job, then God can touch somebody's heart to hire you. But if you sitting at the house every day smoking, every day drinking, but you wondered why you just can't get a job the couple times you done went out there, you got to, if you ain't got a job, you got to look, go get one every day. You got to go look for one every single day. You can't take no days off. How about today? How about today if we decide today is the day that we're going to make the move? Today is the day that we stop delaying, hesitating, procrastinating. Today is the day that we take a step in a direction to do something for ourselves, for our lives, for our family, for our wives, for our children, for our community, for our school. Do something today. For crying out loud, man. Stop sitting in your own life in just a stew of misery. In your own life. I'm going to tell you something. If you are in a state of confusion, if you are troubling, if you're stuck on what to do next, you want me to tell you what's happening? You're not doing enough. That's what it is, man. See, when I get in a place, man, where I don't know what the next move is, it's because I done usually stalled out. See, this is the way God works. This is the way he's worked for me. Every time I'm busy and I'm about the business of always trying to live my creed, which is ABC, my motto is ABC, always be closing. I'm always working on something to close something. When you're so busy with the business of improving yourself and doing with yourself and becoming the best you can be, God is always working on your behalf behind some scene of something that you're in the process of attempting to close. But because you're not doing all you can do, you're limiting you are, because of your decision not to give your all in all. You're limiting the opportunities for God to put his finger on things and touch them on your behalf. I don't know if the average person really understands or knows what it takes to truly be successful on whatever level you're talking about. But whatever that level is, I don't care what dollar amount you've got attached to it, what level you got. If you have made the decision that you're going to be successful, I think that a lot of people, the average person, does not know what that means. Whatever level you've decided to be successful on, see, that's your level of faith. That's where you see your life at. Well, guess what? You got to maximize your efforts to even get to that level. So listen to me. If you want to be successful at your church, If you want to be successful in your relationship, if you want to be successful down at the daycare center, if you want to be successful at your college, if you want to be successful on your job, guess what? It's going to take all you got in that world to become a success. I don't know why people think that if you don't want to be where somebody else at, you ain't got to put forth that effort. Wrong. You've got to put forth your maximum effort at whatever role you're trying to accomplish. Lord have mercy, man. How about today, though, y'all? How about today? Today is a good one. Let's make today the day. Let's get out of that. Let's get on with it. Stop hesitating. Stop delaying. Stop procrastinating. Start today. Watch God have something to put his finger on there. And that's all you're trying to do, man, to line yourself up with God's grace. You got to put out a lot of effort so God can put his finger on something. You feel me today? I sure hope you do, because I'm on one today. Let's go.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? This entire morning show is being dedicated to carrier home pigeon trainers.
What? What is that?
You don't know.
People who have pigeons who fly notes places and bring them back strapped to their legs. This what? Is also dedicated to people to the preservation of hummingbirds.
Okay, they'll get no love.
Welcome. Ooh, nobody ever talk about them people.
I like them.
Yeah, I love hummingbirds, Steve. Yeah. Good.
And that's for the preservation of hummingbirds. And for those who run a delivery service for carrier messaging home pigeons.
Why do that when we have cell phones?
Huh?
We have cell phones now.
Just in case your battery out.
You got to get a message.
Your battery out. Where your pigeon?
Is this Game of Thrones?
Yeah, the Raven.
The Raven.
Morning, Shirley.
Good morning, Steve. Hey, hello, everyone.
Carla.
Hey, Steve. Hey, Shirley crew. Tommy.
Junior.
Morning, everybody. Morning, every day.
We got the best voice in radio and the worst voice in radio on the
I
same
guess I'm the
show.
Best.
Well, I guess you're
the rest
wrong.
Of the losers, huh, Junior?
No, you're no, losers. I guess
why
you're
would
wrong.
I take the worst voice?
Yeah, because you own it. Boo.
Cute.
Yay, yay. Top of the morning, Uncle Steve, Carla, Shirley, and Junior Boy. What it do, what it do?
Man, it's a good day today, man.
Always. Every good day today.
It's a little dark, but it's going to be a good day.
What do you mean by that?
It's dark outside.
Well, yeah. It'll lighten up.
Sunrise on the way.
On the way.
It'll lighten up.
Please, Lord, if it don't.
This is it.
According to the guy said, we're going to lose it in September.
Yeah, that was yesterday.
So this guy who's saying that the world is going to end, this numerologist.
Yeah, his name is David Mead.
End in September. What is he doing in August? I really, other than telling folks, I want to know what he's doing in August to get ready.
There's going to be a solar eclipse August 21st.
Oh, that's my wedding anniversary.
Okay, okay, well, good.
Not no more, it ain't.
Right after that?
According
we're
to
doomed.
Him, yeah.
Is there a party or anything, Shirley? I mean,
ain't no party being.
We can have our own parties, end of the world parties, parties.
Yeah, this is it. Something.
This
bucket
is
list,
it.
Bucket list party.
Bucket list.
Make no mistake who you are.
What is on your bucket list, Steve? You've done so much.
On my bucket list? Wow. I don't really have a bucket list. I have a dream board.
Okay.
I don't want to kick nothing.
Yeah. You want to live.
Yeah, I
want to
live.
Concentrate on living.
Yeah, I got a live list. I don't know, man. I don't know. Ask me that on something else. I need time.
What's on your dream board? Can you share that?
Yeah.
That look on your face is like, I got some stuff on my dream board that
he keep looking at it, though.
It's a dollar amount.
Like $1 million?
A million. I didn't frown.
Like I insulted you.
Junior, I didn't frown.
Yes, you did.
I did not
frown. What was that then?
We'll talk about it when we
okay,
come
okay, cool.
Back.
Tell me.
Something funny with Junior, truth be told, coming up right after
we're
this.
We're talking about this money.
And Roscoe Wallace is going to visit as well.
Oh, okay.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, we back. Now, before we do, Okay, I did not frown.
What you call?
When Shirley said, what did you say to me, Shirley?
Well, I asked you what was on your dream board.
And you said $1 million.
And you said a dollar amount.
Right.
And then you paused a long time, and I said, what, like $1 million?
And then you had a grimace.
And your line was
$1 million.
Well, Turn your nose up.
Yeah, a meal.
Talk about I'm uppity.
Okay.
How that feel? Just saying how that feel.
Okay, hold on. Let me ask you a question. You've got a great truck, a new truck you bought a year or so ago. I remember when you came over to my house.
You're talking to Junior?
Yeah. Mm. You have that truck, right?
Yeah, I got it.
Now, on your dream board, is the same truck on your dream board?
No, it's not on there no more.
Okay.
No, it's not. Scott, it's not on there no more.
So what you talking about, the same million? You don't want to discuss that?
That's what he's saying. You know it.
That's what that was for. Okay.
That's what that's Junior.
About. Okay. I didn't know he was using that to set
up
the money.
I'm just trying to, why would I mean, I'm
Make
not frowning at a million, but I have done that.
Yes, now, several times over.
Shows, so.
Do you realize how rich you are?
Yeah, he knows.
Do you think you're obsessed with money? Do you think you're obsessed with it?
He don't want to answer. He ready for Roscoe?
Obsessed with it?
I work towards it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But let me ask you a question, though. You got to work towards something.
Yeah.
I'm not obsessed more I am with the vision of what it accomplishes for others and me. Because, like, right now, I'm in the game primarily for my grandkids.
Are you enjoying it?
Oh, yeah. I love my work. I really do.
That's good.
I'm in it for the grandkids right now.
You can set them up?
Yeah. See, two shows, I make enough in two shows to have a lifestyle, a really, really good lifestyle. The rest of it is for them to set aside because I can't leave them the shows and I can't leave them these jokes. So I got to build some type of empire, some type of business structure to leave my son. Like my son Steve is working hard to learn my business so he could take something over. I want my children's children, I want my grandchildren's children to know my name.
You're storing up for them.
And the only way for them to know your name is you got to leave them something.
Do you have a portrait
them,
in your
I
living
leave
room?
Them a note,
portrait
though.
Of
can
yourself?
I leave them a note?
Does he have a portrait of himself in the living room?
You can't write it down and say, I'm your great-great-grandfather, Steve Hoff. You can't just...
No.
You can't write no note.
A picture and a note. Nah. And I think we pretty good. A video for that note.
Yeah, just, hey, y'all, I ain't never met y'all, but I'm your great-grandfather, Steve Hoff. You don't... That ain't work?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my nephew finna be disappointed. As of right now, he don't even love me.
What?
Not with he. If he doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Mm-hmm. I better not ever let him hear him.
Well, it's
okay.
Time for.
So, what was
Truth be told in Roscoe.
Roscoe. Let's go to
Roscoe.
Let's
do Roscoe.
You got to get Roscoe.
You ready for Roscoe?
I go get him.
Okay. Let's go.
He going to turn around in the chair.
That's exactly what he did.
What's going on, baby?
Roscoe.
Turn around and chill just like you said. There I was, here I go. I'm back, baby. What's up, Junior?
What's up, Roscoe, my hero?
Ain't nothing, baby. What's going on, Tommy Tom?
What's going on, man?
Oh, my dog. What's going on, Julie?
Hey, Roscoe.
Oh, I like that. I like that blonde hair girl right there.
Thank you. Just something different.
I like that blonde hair, you know.
Thank you.
I ain't never had a white girl.
I'm not white, Roscoe.
Yeah, but you got that blonde up in there, boy. That'd be so memorable.
A lot of black women have blonde hair.
But we're going to try it before I get out of here.
We were talking about
bucket
list.
Yeah. What's up, Carla?
Oh, Lord.
What's up, Roscoe? What's happening?
Me, baby. Me. What's going on with y'all? What's happening? Let me put my glass on. You know, the law around here. You got to wear your sunglasses and look cool.
It's law around
here. Yeah, that's a law. Parliament Funkadelic. How you know I wrote that?
You wrote what?
Yeah, you know, it's a law around here. You got to wear your sunglasses and be cool. I wrote
people?
That.
You wrote
yeah, I wrote that. I wrote that for George Clinton.
Really?
Oh, man.
I know you know a lot of people, but I did not expect you to say George Clinton.
He didn't write no people.
Hell yeah, I know that. Girl, Girl, here boy. We go. Here we go. Little hater.
Little hater. Nobody. Hey.
You back already.
Okay. I wrote when did you write it? Tell us what happened.
I actually wrote P-Funk back in 1929.
1929?
Yeah. Funk wasn't even a word back then.
Funk wasn't a word. You ain't know
it. Nobody even mentioned the word funk.
Nobody mentioned the word funk, but it was on P-Funk.
Oh, there's a difference.
On Cut Funk. The bump.
Come you on, Rocco. 1929.
Who is that? Just depression.
Say it.
It was depression. And what it was, we stand in line every day with soup kitchen. You know, trying to get something to eat.
Okay.
And we stand in line at soup kitchen, and sometimes the line was just long. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we all men's out here, you know, so every now and then, you know, just pee up against the wall. And we pee on the wall. Well, you go by there every day in that hot ass sun.
Yeah.
And with that pee on the wall. And somebody said, man, this show stinking here. And I said, well, that P-Funk.
That make a lot of sense. That...
And they said, well, why is it so strong? I said, it's uncut.
Wow,
it's uncut.
And they said, the show is strong. I said, like a bomb. And then I kept that in my heart. And when I met George Clinton, because I was on the campaign, you know, and I just gave it to him.
But what year was that when you met George Clinton? Because you wrote the song in 1929?
Yeah, I met George Clinton in 72.
And you held on there for that many years.
Hell yeah, you know, it's all in my mind, though, baby. Come on, give me something quick before we go. What we got?
Well, you know, there's a numerologist out there.
I can come back. I'm going to come back and talk with Tommy.
Come on.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll do that. Nephew Tommy.
Now, who you say it is? Well, who?
There's a numerologist out there. His name is David Mead. He's saying that the world is going to end next month.
Well, then we find out we come back then, baby.
We'll be back. We will be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right. Roscoe is still here with us.
Still here, baby.
And when we left.
You know the only reason I'm still here?
No, why?
Because, boy, you got that white girl hair and they're doing something to me.
White girl hair is just blonde. A blonde,
it's blonde
streak of hair.
You know, blonde streak show remind me of white girl. Junior, what's up, baby?
Roscoe, my hero, man.
Boy, my man right there. Tommy Town, big boy.
What it do, man?
What's going on, player? What's up, little hater?
What's up?
Here, go cut it up, careful. Let me show you something, Carly.
You wrote this.
Well, I'm listening. And you saying you wrote this.
That's what he said.
I wrote the words to it.
I thought P-Funk was short for Parliament Funkadelic.
That's what I thought, Carla.
That's what I thought it was short.
No, it was down in 1929.
Be quiet, Junior. You don't know.
When you stand on water, soup kitchen, peed on wall, P-Funk.
Oh, God. On the show.
Come on, let go now. Come on, George Clinton. All right, Kat, that's all I need right there. Thank you so much. Yes, thank you so much.
Wrote that.
How did he come up with that, Roscoe? Make my punk funk the P-Funk. I wants to get funked up. How you come up with that?
Well, see, I go in the 29, right, you know, back in the soup kitchen line. And when the game was the modern day time, you know, George Clinton, I told George actually was sick.
Oh.
George Clinton was sick.
Really?
Yeah, okay. I stopped by his house.
Oh. You knew him like that?
Yeah, I knew him like that. Well, I knew his daddy.
Who was his daddy? Oh,
yeah,
Bill Clinton.
You better lie up in here. He's so stupid.
So, you know, I knew his daddy, Bill Clinton.
Uh-huh.
But not Bill Clinton, the president.
Oh, definitely not.
It was B.B. Clinton.
Oh, B.B.
Oh, okay.
Black Bill Clinton.
Okay. That's what the B stood for, the other B.
Okay, so this
and
is
so, I went over his house, and George was sick, you know. Wasn't his stomach was just tore up. He had ate something bad. And he was just just be honest with you, just had diarrhea. And so I told him, I said, look, man, we're just sitting up in here because you lose right now. Why don't you put a towel on and like a diaper? And that when he started wearing them diapers. And then I told him,
that's
I said,
how he got the diaper.
Yeah, he had it. Then when he come out on stage in the diaper, he just kept it from that time he got sick. And I said, Boy, you're gonna make this P-phone. Make him fuck on cut. I want the bomb. I want the, he said, bomb, I'm gonna do that one thing. And there it was right there.
1972.
Yeah. Get out of here.
What else going on, baby? What happened?
Well, like I was telling you, the numerologist is saying that next month the world is going to come to an end. Next month.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This
yeah.
is August, so he's saying in September.
Oh, yeah.
You
yeah,
believe that?
Yeah, yeah. He white?
Well, I don't know. His name is David Mead.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would only
I don't know no black
people. Come on, I don't know black
people. You can only assume. You don't know.
Ain't no black people predicting the end of the world.
Not for the first of 15.
No, we got a check coming, and we need to be here for
them 2 days right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Not before Jesus comes back.
No. That's the only one we banging on coming back is Christ. After that, we don't know nothing about it. So, you know, always don't worry about that. Ain't nothing going to happen. Who he? Numerology. How God ain't told nobody but him. The Lord said, no man know if the time or the hour when I come back.
Yeah.
You know who I learned that from? T.D.
T.D.
Bishop T.D. Jakes. Oh, y'all call him Bishop. I just call him T.D.
You know him, too?
Y'all close enough for you to just say T.D.?
T.D. call him all the time. Don't call him Bishop. I knew him before he Bishop.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He was just T.D.J. We call him T.D. for a whole nother reason.
What TD stand for?
TD actually stand for tear down.
Tear down?
Tear down,
yeah, because he used to work construction. He used to take houses. So we used to call him Tear Down Jake. And so they started calling him.
And then he got saved.
And then he got saved. He threw Bishop in front of him. And everybody knew it was in tear down because he was building up so many people.
Yeah.
So we were tearing down houses and outhouses to build up saving soul. So they started calling him Bishop TD Jake. Yeah. And so I just, because I still call him TD.
How did he get the name, come up with the name The Potter's House for his church?
Well, The Potter's House, see, once again, I knew his daddy. We was in the soup kitchen line down in 1929. And after I told George Clinton the name P-Funk to P-Funk, and his daddy was standing in that same soup kitchen line, same wall where they used to urinate on and strong got right. Then he cleaned up, he called it Potter's House.
He cleaned it up.
Tell the baby you got to go to potty.
Boy.
So that's why they call it the Potter House. Because he take somebody that's stinking and all drained up and smell urine and clean them up.
Clean them up.
And this the potty house.
He played
the TDJ and the potty house because he cleaned people's souls up. So you come in here, it look like a potty. When you leave here, you clean.
Yeah.
See, my bad, because I thought it was Potter's house. You know, like you potter, a clay potter.
Like clay.
Mold someone.
Yes.
Mold. Clay.
And that's what it
thought.
Is,
yeah.
Sure.
Like,
no, wrong.
Potter's house. Three wrongs.
Well, who is the potter?
The Lord. The Lord would be the potter. He would mold you how he wants you to be.
Right. So that's what you think it is, Donnie?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's definitely what it is.
That ain't what it is.
So your version is what again?
Well, I'm just trying to tell you now. I'm just trying to get you inside track on what happened.
Okay. Because I'm sure Bishop T.D. Jakes listens.
Well, I don't know what T.D. told y'all.
And he's been a guest on the show several times.
I heard
several
him.
Times.
I heard him. Yeah. Bring it on one time together.
Excuse me?
Bring it on one time together.
Oh, you and the bishop. You yeah. want to come on. Oh, so you can clear this whole thing up?
We ain't got to clear it up. You tell the truth. That man ain't never lied.
Okay.
He'll just tell you the truth. You know it is what it is. What else going on? No. I'm just here to clear it up. You what know, you need?
You know the New England Patriots, the football team?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I heard that they just bought themselves two airplanes. They bought, the team bought them, two private jets for themselves.
Yeah, they got that. Uh-huh. But they ain't team ain't bought nothing. White man bought.
Wait a minute.
Robert Kraft bought that.
The team ain't bought nothing.
Team ain't bought nothing. Them black boys ain't making no money by
them. Well,
damn
who bought it, though?
That white man, Robert Kraft. Robert Kraft, team owner.
All the seats are like first-class seats. They can go all the way back, some of them. You know, so when they travel long.
Well, hell, they winning all them games. Well, why you can't lay their black ass back? They running, they making all these touchdowns. Now they got to sit up and coach. What, they fly economy class, maybe get an extra economy, a little more leg room? You got to put these big-ass football players on big-ass planes. Robert Kraft knew that.
Yeah.
Tom Brady got his own plane.
Oh, he does? He's not going to fly with the team?
Yeah, well, I mean, he got one. He fly with the team. We got our own plane, though. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady make all kind of money. Married that white girl model.
Oh, yeah, Giselle Bundchen.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. That's not her name?
No,
what's her
Gabby.
Name? Gabby?
Who?
Gabby who?
No, Tom Brady, right.
Her name is Giselle.
Giselle.
We call her Gabby for show.
How do you get Gabby out of Giselle? But yeah, who
they
is
know
we?
Everybody.
Well, you know, we had a call or something else, you know.
Why? When did you meet her? You knew her?
No, I don't know her.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Well,
I know her daddy.
Oh, what was her dad? What was his name?
Efilio Marcoso.
What?
From Brazil.
Brazil.
Yeah, she's Brazilian. He's Brazilian, yes.
Who are you?
Giselle.
Well, I don't know. I'll tell you what I met. I met him in France.
Oh, you met him in France?
I met him in France. Yeah. We stand outside the Eiffel Tower. Yeah. I was singing, welcoming people to the Eiffel Tower.
You were doing the welcome at the Eiffel Tower?
I was doing the welcome at the Eiffel Tower. I was just singing for a thousand.
With a beret on? What
singing.
You
got? I had a tam with a little top on it.
A little what?
A little top. Okay. You know what I'm talking about, Monica.
All right, we have to go, Roscoe. It's
Monica
been very exciting and interesting, as always. Coming up at the top of the hour, Miss Ann
is
going
to holla at your white girl.
With our national news.
I say holla at your white girl.
I'm not white.
You got that blonde in your hair.
We will be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Miss Ann is standing by with today's national news. Opening arguments have begun in the Taylor Swift battle. This is a legal battle against DJ David Mueller. Taylor was in the Denver courtroom as lawyers for both sides began their argument. Taylor's lawyer, Douglas Baldridge, told jurors that Taylor was absolutely certain she was sexually assaulted by the DJ, who Taylor says grabbed her butt cheek. Mueller, who is seeking $3 million, is claiming he was fired because of Taylor's fraudulent claims, and his lawyer acknowledged that while it's offensive and wrong to touch a woman inappropriately, he added, falsely accusing someone of inappropriate touching is equally offensive and wrong. Taylor is countersuing. Taylor is countersuing Mueller a symbolic dollar to show others you can always say no. Oh, so he's suing her for $3 million. She's suing him for a dollar.
What? Okay. Mm-hmm. So this guy gets fired because he was accused of groping Taylor?
Uh-huh.
Taylor Swift?
He grabbed her butt during a picture, and she said that he did that. So the radio station fired him. So he sued her for $3
million. $3 million.
She is countersuing him.
For $1.
For a dollar, because she said you did this.
The principle.
Yeah, and it's the principle of it. So now they're in court right now.
Is he saying he didn't do it?
Yeah, he's saying that his boss did it.
Does anybody have a picture of him holding it in his hand?
Well, stopped him at the moment when he was doing it. She was appalled by what he was doing, allegedly. So she's countersuing him. I like that. I like that she's sticking up for herself.
Yeah, she has to, because I'm sure it happens a lot and people just let it go. You know what I mean? People just let it go, and she's just standing up. She wants it stopped, the sexual harassment. So good for her.
Yeah. Good for her. Mm-hmm. All right. Celebrities, another case of celebrities saying enough.
Celebrities fighting back.
Yes.
But are you showing the picture? Is that the picture?
So I can sue somebody to grab my butt, because my butt get grabbed.
That
all
the guy
the
right
time.
There?
Yeah. Oh,
well,
yeah.
Well, they don't really be grabbing it. They be just hugging you around your waist and your ass is hot.
Well, judging from the angle on the picture,
it looked like he did it.
Well, yeah, you can't tell. You don't know.
Well, from the look of the picture, it looks like he is grabbing her butt.
Can I see the picture?
His hand. It looks like his hand is clearly on her butt.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, it looks like his hand is right there.
Because you have no reason for it to be down there.
I'm glad she's doing this.
And you got to be touching her.
Yeah, why is his hand down there?
Because it's not down there in the air.
Yeah, it's not around her waist like most people take pictures around the waist. His is down.
Mm-hmm. I love Taylor Swift for doing this. I do.
Yeah, she's taking a stand. Yes, she is. Yes, she is.
Hey.
All right, well, good for Taylor, though, really.
And,
she's standing up for herself, and that's
with the way the climate
that.
Is in the world today, if a guy grabs a woman's butt, he out.
Yeah, yeah.
And you got to know that.
Yeah.
I've let it go before.
What do you mean?
You know,
somebody's grabbed your butt and you let
yeah,
it go.
Yeah, you know, I just let it go.
Well, a lot
so
of men
grab yours, but when they grab mine, they just trying to hug me around my waist.
Well, it was.
It's an accident.
It's an accident when they grab mine.
Yeah, but you have a high ass, though. So it's a lot
high
of people.
Or low? I know what I'm grabbing.
Well, a lot of people. I've had people pat you on the back, and then you complain about, hey, not high enough. Because, like, people normally have to pat you on the top of your head, because anywhere in your neck area, your ass is up there. But I've seen people have to just pat you on top of the head. Like, I don't pat you
his
on the back.
Neck area? Do you hear what you just said?
Yeah.
His neck area?
Yeah. Like, you could touch him on the front of the shoulder, but not back there by the blade. Yeah.
Stupid.
Like, what? When Tommy reached back there to get his wallet, it's easy.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
What
he can get his wallet right off the back of his shoulder.
So he just go over his
don't
shoulder.
Laugh at him, sir. Carla, don't laugh at him. Don't
I'm
stop.
Not laughing.
Yeah, that's not, that, not you that
have a visual. You know, Steve is good with giving a visual.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wallet come right out, right up there on top of his, right behind his shoulder.
We always find ourselves in this position because we're always talking about something insane when it's time to introduce Miss Anne. Mm-hmm. So please do it as
ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Miss Anne Tripp.
Thank you. Okay, this is Anne Tripp, everybody, and here we go. The rhetoric continues to escalate between the Trump administration and Pyongyang. So now it's Defense Secretary James Mattis. He's warning North Korea that it would quickly lose any conflict that it got into with the U.S. and its allies. Mattis says bluntly that North Korea needs to cease any actions that would, quote, lead to the end of its regime and the destruction of its people. That was his quote. Because he says it would be grossly overmatched by the U.S. Mattis's remark, of course, comes on the heels of President Trump's promise to, quote, rain fire and fury on North Korea if it threatens the United States. Now, Korea, for its part, is saying that it's going to be sending some fire or something toward Guam. So we're going to see what happens. Of course, the folks in Guam rather nervous about that. It's being reported that the FBI has raided the Virginia home of Paul Manafort, who was Donald Trump's presidential campaign manager, looking for paperwork related to the alleged Russian meddling in the election. Took a lot of paperwork out of there. Paul Manafort says he is cooperating fully. A massive government report on climate change has been leaked. It summarizes current climate change science from various government agencies, concluding that global warming is both man-made and potentially dangerous. However, the statement is at odds with the views of many Trump administration officials and their supporters, which leads Trump's ambassador to the U.N., Nikki Haley, with an interesting take on the issue.
Everything that had been represented to the community.
In any case, residents and businesses in New Orleans are upset over the flooded out stores and basements that resulted from last week's heavy rains. They say flooding resulted from problems with pumping stations that they accuse some city officials of having lied about. Initially, officials of the Sewage and Water Board say all of the Crescent City's pumping stations were fully operational. It turned out that some pumps, though, were only running at two-thirds capacity. Lamont Stewart was the head of one of the biggest Mardi Gras mass camps, and he says that they should have known what was going on. The head of the Sewage and Water Board reportedly planning to retire this year. President Trump scheduled to return to Trump Tower on Sunday for three nights, and today is National Lazy Day and National Spoil Your Pet Day, whether you have a cat or a dog. Now, Eugene the Butterfly coming up 20 minutes after the hour. Stay tuned to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, come on, Steve. Introduce the butterfly, please.
I'm so sick of this dude.
Much needed. Let's go.
He's standing there. Come on, he's standing and waiting.
Ladies and gentlemen, Eugene.
No love.
Could you do a little? You know what? I'm not going to do it. Good morning, everyone. Stephen, Tommy, Shirley, Carla Jr. Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is
good morning, butterfly.
Good morning, butterfly.
Flutter, flutter.
Flap on, brother.
Get your spirits up. Junior. Get your spirits up, butterfly.
You know what? I'm good. I'm not going to let nobody steal my joy.
Don't let them do it.
There you
go. You know what? This week, it's time to get ready. It's back to school next week for all of the children.
A lot of kids already started too, Eugene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's back to school.
Okay.
Yeah, right? People are getting their children ready. Yeah. And I remember when I used to get Hansel and Gretel ready. Those are my twins. And oh my God. So I'm going to give you all some pointers, all right, that you can use for your children getting ready to go back to school.
Okay. Right? I'm listening.
Mm-hmm. This is the first thing. Start putting your child to bed early. All right, 7:30, 8 o'clock. Let's get them in bed. Then it's gonna get them in the system of next week. You gotta start getting your butt up early. All right, because when you get up, you know, if you go to bed late, you're gonna be cranky in the morning.
Good suggestion. All right? I like it.
7:30 is a little early, though. I'll go with 8.
It's still daylight.
Yeah. Mm. I'll go.
I don't care.
They have blackout curtains. But it's still daylight.
Turn the light out in the room and go to bed. All
see, right.
Right
there.
Sunday.
He don't sound like he should be around kids because he don't have the right tone. Well, you don't have the right tone. It's dark outside. You get in the bed.
Get your ass in the bed. Right. What was wrong with that? That's what my mama used to do to me.
Well, it's not your children.
Well, here's what else your children need to do. Sundays. Mm-hmm. On Sunday.
Okay.
Iron all your clothes for the week.
Okay.
I had
all
to
right.
do it.
Yeah.
Y'all remember
nobody
that?
Nobody did oh,
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yes,
not
they
now.
Do. Everybody
I had to do
did
that.
It.
I don't do
you
it now.
You iron your
grown,
clothes
but
for
I
the
had
week.
To do that.
Mama
for the week?
That.
For the week?
For the week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shirts.
Damn.
Yeah,
we had to iron the night before, but not the whole
week. Shirts and jeans. You just iron it for the whole week and get it out the way.
You can't wear. Oh, well, I guess.
Okay. Here's one thing I want you to know. Here's what every child should do. Mm-hmm. Read 10 pages out of a book a day.
That's my favorite one so far. I
10
like
pages.
Yeah.
Read 10 pages out of a book
you
a
don't.
Day. Now, but I'm not no child. And you're going to quit talking to me like I'm one, too. Now, let's move forward.
Uh-oh. Where is the
not,
love?
You know what? I've gotten to the point. I'm just not going to take it from him no more. I'm not.
Well, that's why your therapist came
you
on and your therapist
me.
Came on and told you that you really were primarily the one that was wrong in this relationship.
No, it's really you. But yeah. you were able to
it's
you were
anger,
able to camouflage it. You were able
it's
to camouflage
you.
It like you do everything
it's
else.
You well,
were
you
able
don't
to
know how to talk in front of a therapist, and I do. So you lost.
You no, I opened up and I was and being myself. If you were open up and being yourself, you'd have been cussing and carrying on like you always do. But you're going to get what the doctor get here. You somebody different.
Well, that's the game. And you don't know how to play.
Yeah, don't nobody commit murder in front
you're
of the
judge. You playing a game
yeah.
in therapy?
Why are you playing yeah. a game in therapy?
Well, you don't rob the bank with the police sitting out front.
Yeah, you so don't.
Damn.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, Floyd Mayweather Jr. is, well, he's talking about his upcoming opponent. You know this. In an interview.
I'm going.
You're going to the
are you
fight?
Are going to the fight?
Good
absolutely.
For you.
Just got invited. I'm going.
Okay. Go well, ahead. Congratulations. Let us know how
hey,
that goes.
Hey,
well, we'll watch
that's
it on
big.
TV. Yeah.
Hey.
No, I got invited it, by a guy.
Oh, you got invited.
Yeah, I can't put anybody on
you
this
you don't
want
to invite anybody else?
No, I can't do that.
Did you hear what he said?
Invite somebody
did you hear
on
what he
invite?
Said?
Yeah.
He said, I got invited by a guy. I can't put anyone else on his plane.
Yeah, what, I can't
what,
do that.
What,
can't
what, go oh, but what if I'm in your security else? Detail?
You're way too small.
That's all right, though. I'm on the plane.
You're yeah. not Boom.
Yeah. I ain't got to be
me
him.
And the dude that invited me is bigger than you.
Yes,
yeah, what well, we ain't going to be doing is be saving your ass.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
get
what?
On, Junior. He all right.
But you're going Junior. To the fight, though.
Yeah.
So in an interview with Stephen A. Smith of ESPN, of course, the boxer Floyd Mayweather explained why Conor McGregor has some advantages for the August 26th bout. Take a listen.
A man that has never fought in a boxing ring is going to be in a boxing ring with someone who is on the record that he is TBE, the best ever. Is he truly worthy of being in the ring with you?
He's taller, has a longer reach. He's a bigger man from top to bottom. A lot younger, so youth is on his side. And I've been off a couple years. So, and now I'm in my 40s. So, you know, if you look at everything on paper, it leans towards Conor McGregor.
Wow.
On paper. He's wow. saying
it, on paper, it looks like Conor McGregor should win this fight.
Yeah, and in real life, he ain't.
Okay.
No, he's not.
No.
My mind is what the paperwork says.
His tater tot toe up in that damn ring.
Wow.
Man. And it's amazing how they selling this fight.
But like, they selling it.
It's selling, too. It's
but let
selling.
Me explain something
it's gonna
to you.
Sell out.
If you fight and they box and Mayweather comes in there to do what he do, he going to warm him. He going to warm him real nice. I don't care how young he is. Boxing is a skill.
A skill. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you talk about grappling and kicking and wrestling, he'll kill Mayweather. But we that ain't what we
going
to do.
So Conor McGregor is going to box. Floyd Mayweather.
He has to box
for the first time.
He can't pick his foot up off that.
So he's
no,
not
he
a boxer.
Can't. He's a fighter.
No, he's just
a fighter.
He's a
fighter.
Okay.
He knows how to box. Mm-hmm. He okay. hits really hard in the ring. But what he has never seen
is
Floyd Mayweather's speed.
Yeah.
He's
seen
and
those
his skill set.
Floyd is greatness.
Mm-hmm. And that
you
shoulder
try to kill
defense. He's never seen
kill a fly, Shirley, and you can't kill it. That flow.
Okay.
The one that stay in your house for 5 days. Can't get rid of this fly for nothing.
You can't get rid
of it. We have this bread. We got fruit and stuff. We got to pick.
Yeah.
All right, let's go on. Let's listen more to what Floyd has to say.
I got to go to him. I got to go to him.
Are you saying that you're going to go to Conor McGregor?
I got to go to
You're him. Not going to back up. You're going to go to him.
I have to go to him.
Why?
Because I owe the public for the Pacquiao fight. Since they wasn't pleased with the Pacquiao fight, they're going to be pleased with this fight right here.
Wow. Man. I love his honesty. He's very transparent.
Now, he gonna warm this boy. Because he tired of all that mess he been talking. He going to warm him.
All right,
you think the boy going to hit him, though?
I think that if Floyd focuses and do what he do, he's going to whoop this boy something tremendous. And I think he going to put him on because I think he's aggravated.
Yeah,
with the trash that this dude is talking.
He can't but read and all that stuff.
Do you think the racial remarks, I agree,
all of
Steve.
That, all of that.
Do you think this boy can catch him?
I don't.
Conor can catch Floyd?
Do you think Conor can catch Floyd?
No.
I don't see it at all.
No. I mean, look, anybody could get hit.
Yeah.
But Floyd got a chin, too, now. Mm-hmm. Hold up. Yeah. Ain't no one punch going to knock Floyd out. You got to hit him to get the one punch in. Now, the best boxers in the world ain't knocked him out.
Yeah.
No, Sugar Shane rocked him and he didn't go down.
Right. So he has a chin.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, this boy, McGregor, is about to learn what boxers do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The art, it's a skill set in there, man.
It is.
And I just don't think that he has. I don't think he does.
You was a Golden Gloves boxer, right?
First of all, let's understand something. Mm-hmm. Fighting in the gloves and fighting pros, two different fights.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Okay. Nephew Tommy's prank phone call coming up.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after the hour, get ready for today's Strawberry Letter. But up next, Nephew Tommy, what do you have in the prank call archives?
Shirley.
What?
Miss Helen was Aqua Boogie, right?
Oh, yeah, that was her fave. She loved that one.
So I got to say, before my daddy left you, can I have your kidney? He ran that in his truck over and over and over.
Did he?
Can I have your kidney? Take a listen. Here it is. Class.
Hello.
Hello. I'm trying to reach Brother Conley.
This is Conley.
How you doing, brother? This is Deacon Patterson calling from the church. How you doing today?
Deacon Patterson?
Yeah.
Just doing fine. And yourself, sir?
I'm doing good. Doing good. You know, the church is behind you on what you're going through, and we praying for you, man. We know all about you going into surgery on Friday to get your pancreas removed. So I wanted to give you a call, man, have a word of prayer, and let you know that we all are pulling for you, and we know that the man upstairs is going to pull you through this successfully.
Well, God bless and keep you there, Deacon. God bless and keep you, because I tell you, I'm going through something here. Me and my wife, we've been talking about it, and we've been praying on it, and it sure is a wonderful thing to know that your church is with you and y'all thinking about me in prayer. I've really had to take this to the Lord. This is a serious thing with me, and I ain't never had an operation before in my life, and
I know
I need it. My wife done made it clear, the doctor done made it clear, and I believe I'm ready to go forward, Deacon.
And we're going to give the victory to who the victory is.
Give the victory to the Lord. Yes, sir. He's the victory.
Let me have a word of prayer with you, Brother Conley, if you don't mind. Just bow your head for me. Father God, we ask right now. We ask right now that you touch Brother Conley as he goes in on Friday.
Please, Lord.
Put your hands on him. We ask, Father, that you hold on to the doctor that's getting ready to go and put surgery on him.
Yes.
We ask that you make sure that the doctor has got a strong eye on that morning.
Walk with him.
We ask that he got a steady hand when he got the scalpel in his hand. We ask that you hold on to him,
please,
as he goes into his surgery, because we know come Saturday morning, the victory going to belong to Brother Conley and the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We know all of this, but we ask that you take that pancreas and you remove it out successfully.
Please.
Close him back up like it was never been entered in before.
Walk with me, Jesus.
That's what we're asking. We ask you, Lord, at the same time that they're removing this pancreas, Lord. We ask that you reach around his backside. And we ask that you touch his kidney, Lord. Touch his kidney and make it whole. Make it 110%. We want you to make that kidney like it's been the best kidney
Excuse
ever.
Me, Deacon. Deacon. That's Deacon. Deacon Woo, Pat Deacon Patterson.
Yes.
Oh, yes, sir. ain't they, no, sir. There's nothing wrong with my kidney, Deacon. I'm doing fine. The Lord has done made it. Well, he's gonna work on my pancreas. That's what the doctor's operating on. They done prepped me for it, and that's what they plan to remove. So, my kidney is fine. They did what they called one of them MRIs, and everything else is fine. They ain't working on nothing but my pancreas, sir.
Right. Well, let me say, I'm glad you brought that up, because this one reason why I called you. Of course, I did call to pray for you.
Yes, sir.
Because I want to make sure that you make it through this successfully. But another reason why I'm getting around to this here is what I want to ask you, and I know we've never met face to face. I've seen you a couple of times, like I said, at the church, but you've been out most of the time with your sickness and whatnot. But mm-hmm. now, what I was going to ask you was,
and
I know this is, I hate to come at you in the final hour when you're getting ready to go have surgery and all that, but if you don't mind, if you could see it in your heart to do something for somebody else.
Yes, sir. That's the Lord's will. You're always supposed to help those who can't.
And I'm glad you think like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they go in on Friday morning and remove that pancreas out, do you think that they could go in and get one of your kidneys? Because I need one.
Hold on just a minute, Deacon. What'd you say? What'd you say?
See, I've been going through myself with a little ailment. And I'm wondering if I need a kidney, and I'm wondering if you can give me one of yours when they go in to get your pancreas. They already have you open.
Did you say you wanted them to take one of my kidneys?
Yeah, and give it to me because I need one.
You need a kidney?
Yeah. But you already going to be laying there open.
Wait a minute, mister. You need a kidney? I need help with my pancreas. You going to call me with some like that, man? This ain't no work of the Lord. Now, you say you're a deacon?
Like I said, Deacon Patterson, my name. But see, what I'm asking you is, Brother Conley, what harm is it if you already open and laying on the table?
Oh, you ain't heard a damn thing I said, have you? I said, you crazy as hell. Now, what I'm going to have to do, I'm going to need to call the pastor. Because, see, it's some going on here. You say you knew? You mighty damn knew, mister. Matter of fact, you too damn new to know who you're talking to.
What I'm saying is, you have two, like you said, you say they did the MRI.
I don't give a what I said they did, man. I got two kidneys, you got two. One of yours bad, that's your problem, mister. Let me tell you something. I'm trying to get well, and you calling with this, you say you a new deacon. You damn sure is, and you won't be at that church long. I tell you that because if I ever get close to your sister, we got some reckoning to do.
What is it going to hurt for you to give me one of them kidneys if both them kidneys is good?
It ain't going to hurt them thing because you ain't getting my kidney, man. It ain't going to hurt. What is wrong with you?
Say, man, all I'm saying is if you're going to be open and laying on the table, what is it going to hurt for you to give me one?
Oh, now you're going to tell me I'm open and laying on the damn table. What kind of a prayer are you in charge of, mister? Let me tell you something. Obviously, I need to meet you before I get to the hospital. And maybe I can help take out that damn bad kidney of yours. I can tell you that. We can it out. You won't feel a damn thing. How about that? I'll be damned if you're going to call and talk me out of one of my damn kidneys, man.
I'm trying to live just like you trying to.
Let the Lord take care of me, because what you talking about ain't got a damn thing to do with Jesus. You can kiss my and get off my phone. That's what you can do.
Can I say one more thing to you?
What?
Is you listening to me?
Man, I done listened to you, and you ain't talking about nothing. That's got nothing to do with what's going on with me, mister. You running a game? If I could get to you, I'd put lead in your do you understand
But me? Can I just say one more thing, and then I'm going to let you go? Is you listening?
For what?
This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got pranked by your daughter.
Oh, Lord have mercy. That girl, Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Jesus.
Hey, you all right? Brother Conley.
Man, you done made me use language that I swear I don't know, but I hear my neighbors and them using that. I done stopped a long time ago talking that away. Please forgive me. Lord have mercy. Y'all, I'm going to have to. Lord have mercy. My heart is palpating here. Lord have mercy, Jesus. Mister, this ain't me. This ain't me. And you. I tell you what, I enjoy Steve Harvey and Nephew Tommy. I do.
Brother Conley, I got to ask you one more thing, man. What is the baddest, I'm talking about the baddest, radio show in the land?
It's got to be. It's got to be y'all. It's got to be y'all. Hell, I don't even remember the name of it now.
The Steve Harvey Morning
Show. The Steve Harvey Morning Show. Lord have mercy. I ain't going to forget it now.
Now, that's how you make a deacon just go left right there.
Yeah. He pushed his button.
That's what you do right there.
That's how you make a deacon just straight lose his mind.
But why they in there? Do you mind?
If they rich around.
If they just rich around.
Give me one of your kidneys because I need one. That's for my pops right there. That go out to Thomas W. Miles Sr. Rest in peace. That go out to my daddy. How about that?
Yeah. That's a good one.
Every day had me put it on, burn it on a CD form. He said, just burn that about 8 times and just let that run.
But that reminds me of Steve's organ donor joke when he get to heaven.
He want all his stuff.
That's why I'm not donating anything.
It started in the DMV and ended up in heaven.
Yes. With a dog, Junior. With the dog.
Hell, I'm going to get my eyes away from.
Tosh loved the dog was barking in heaven. Come on, Steve. Yeah.
Been working my whole life to see Jesus. Now that's why I gave my eyes away. I'm the only one in heaven with a dog.
Seeing eye dog. All right, we got to go. Strawberry Letter coming up next. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, before we get into today's crazy Strawberry Letter, the longest-running late-night TV show host is coming back. 2 years after David Letterman signed off for the last time on CBS's Late Show, he signed on to do a one-hour show for Netflix. In a statement, Letterman said, "I feel excited and lucky to be working on this project for Netflix. Here's what I've learned. If you retire to spend more time with your family, check with your family first. Thanks for watching. Drive safely." I love that. Good point, though. Good point.
I love Dave Letterman.
No title for the show has been is of yet, but it's set to premiere in 2018. That's next year. Steve, you're going to retire in a few years. Are you getting ready? Have you checked with your family first?
I don't give a damn how they feel. I really don't care how they feel.
You got, what, about 5 more years that you're going to do this?
You know, it's going to be probably a little longer than that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, whenever it is, I'm not cleaning it with nobody. Yeah.
Well, according to David Letterman, have you seen him
be
lately?
At home all the time.
Long, long beard.
Like
long beard. Have you seen him? He's. You know how you grew yours for a little while before you went back on TV. His is like he's been growing for 10 years. It's that long. He must have been growing it. He must have started the night he retired.
I'm through.
Until now.
Yeah. So every summer, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to just not shave every summer.
The entire summer?
Yeah.
Is your wife cool with that?
Monica, I don't care about your faces.
Is
my
your
wife like it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
The only reason I can do it.
Because that lady that called in here and told you, going to have a problem then.
Oh, yeah. One of our listeners called in and told Steve the beard's got to go, Steve.
Yeah, that's cool.
Let it go, Steve.
We don't sleep together, so perfectly
but
fine.
But your wife liked the beard.
Yeah, as long as she likes it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to be cool with it. It's just a vacation. Look, gives your face a break.
Yeah.
You like that, Shirley? Do you like beards? I do. I like facial hair.
I
like that rugged look, too.
I like a mustache, goatee, you know.
All that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As long as it's well-groomed. Mm-hmm. If it's scraggly and not for me.
I don't even know what I look like without no hair. That would scare the hell out of me.
You ain't got
and us, too. You probably look straight crazy.
You say you ain't got none now?
Look at little Junior. Junior's face is just as clean.
No, I'm growing the beard out right now. I'm going to start. You know, I'm just
you
show
said
y'all.
That. Okay.
Yeah, I'm growing it right
Can
now.
Can you grow a beard, Junior?
You'll see in about a week. It don't take long.
I want to see Junior. Yeah.
Right now, Monica done slid her glasses on.
Yeah.
The spot.
She
didn't
see the peach fuzz.
Yeah, she's looking for stubble right now.
She's looking for stubble.
How old were you when you got a mustache, like some hair on your face?
I was 14.
That's not what that is.
14? Yeah, I started growing.
That's not a mustache.
But
what is that, Steve?
I don't know.
No, don't give him no ammo, Shirley. I can't believe you're going to throw the rock right over there at him, ain't sure.
You know
I'm sitting over here looking at him. You talking about when did you get a mustache? Where?
It's a little dark right above his lip. It's a little dark. Are you growing a mustache, too?
Yeah, I just showed you about 3 days ago, so I'm just, you know, this is 3 days later. You know, about a week, though.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it. I've never seen
I'm gonna
you
go to
with
the barbershop, let
him
edge this little bit up, and then we're going to have
it. It's starting to sound like that time you said you could beat Tommy running. That's what it's starting to sound like.
That's fine. That's true, too. good with that.
Okay, then a week we're going to see some hair. We're going to see some hair in a week.
Yeah.
Your cell phone was in your pocket, and it was running faster than you. Yes. That threw to everybody off.
I can't believe you, Shirley, gonna just throw the rock. Oh,
don't get mad just at me. Yeah, I saying am. It. I'm just trying to see if it's there.
I'm trying not to say nothing, but I'm sitting here looking at you.
You about to say something. It ain't
yeah, and then you said, you know, this I stopped shaving 3 days ago, and I went more damn.
In the words of Tommy, let's go to break.
No, it's not time. It's not time.
That is. That is.
All right, let's get to the strawberry letter, nephew.
Buckle up. Hold on tight. We got it for you. Here it is, a strawberry letter.
All right, some issues here. Subject, race problem. You're going to love this letter, Steve. Dear Steve and Shirley, I've been married for a year to my lovely wife. She is black. I am a foreigner, not a Caucasian, white. My skin color is white, though. When we first got married, the priest warned us that we may face race issues. I disagreed because there were no signs whatsoever that my wife had a problem with that based on her open-minded personality and the type of music she listens to. The race issue had come up slowly, and now it is on its peak. She recently accused me and accused my family of being racist, even though I guarantee that is not the case. She complained that I claim that I am white on my marriage license and other forms that I have to fill out. We did some counseling before, but we stopped because of financial issues. We love each other to death, but I would just like for this problem not to come up again, at least not from her. What to do? Thank you. I just got to ask you straight out, what are you then? A foreigner, which simply means you're not from this country, white looking, but not actually white. Your wife complain that you claim you're white on your marriage license and other forms. Are you of African descent? I mean, maybe she's upset that you're not claiming what you really are. You're very mysterious about it in the letter. It's a little confusing, you know, but I have to tell you this. Don't be so naive about, you know, race and issues such as that. Unfortunately, it is still an issue in this country. You know, I personally believe that love has no color, but when different races get involved, you know, problems ensue. You know, I don't know, maybe your wife is getting heat from other people, you know, and maybe that's affecting her. But I think you need to be more straightforward about, you know, what you really are. And maybe that'll clear up some issues. Steve?
Nah, don't see it that way at all, Shirley.
It's okay.
You say the man needs to be more forthright about what he is.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that'll help.
She got eyes. She was there. She said, I do. Uh-huh. This is her fault. But then this really, you know, when you talk about race, okay, first of all, this is a comedic take on this letter. So first let me preempt this letter by saying, do not email me about what I'm about to say. Because I really don't care nothing about this letter. I don't know how to help.
Exactly.
Hell, I ain't got the problem. Ain't ever had the problem. Ain't nobody ever accused me of being white.
Ever, Steve? Really?
one time, a club owner. Yes. You know, the name Steve Harvey. When I got to the club, he went, you got to be kidding me. What are you doing here? Okay, great. That's only other time.
Only time, okay.
And then it was, another time.
This guy's got some issues.
Okay, so it's happened a few hundred times to me. But it makes me qualified to answer this letter the way I'm going to answer this letter when we come back. Please do not email me about this, because this letter is not significant to nobody but the dude that wrote it.
All right, okay? We'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Part two of today's strawberry letter coming up right now. Come on, Steve.
Subject, race problem.
Your favorite kind of letter.
Dear Steve, Shirley, I've been married for a year to my lovely wife. She's black. I'm a foreigner, not a Caucasian, white. My skin color is white, though. When we first got married, the priest warned us that we might face race issues. I disagreed because there was no signs whatsoever that my wife had a problem with that based on her open-minded personality and the type of music she listened to. The race issue has come up slowly, and now it's on the peak. She recently accused me and accused my family of being racist, even though I guarantee you that's not the case. She complained that I claimed that I am white on my marriage license and other forms that I had to fill out. We did some counseling before,
what to do thing. I don't know what to do.
Exactly.
Let's just keep it clear. Mm. And I do see the gift that has been presented to me. It allows me an opportunity to touch on the subject that I don't even like talking about anymore, and that's race. And I would hope that we could move beyond this. But oh no, here you come with your little funky little strawberry letter. So here I have to deal with this anyway. I am a foreigner, not a Caucasian white. My skin color is white, though.
Huh?
I'm just reading you what the letter say.
The letter says.
So now, who are you? I'm thinking Madonna, maybe.
It's a dude.
Angelina Jolie. Who are you? I'm confused. Now you done married this black girl and she confused. But let me tell you what's really, really, really something, dog. This really ain't got nothing to do with you. I'm going to get to you in a minute. I'll tell you what's really wrong here. The priest told y'all that you might face race issues. You disagreed. You went to the priest and then disagreed with the priest. What did you go down there for? Okay, now let's get to this. You don't think your wife race was going to be a problem because your wife, based on her open-minded personality and the type of music she listened to. What? You don't think your wife is racist because of the kind of music she listening to? Oh, you think just because she listened to the Doobie Brothers, that is all right? Well, hell, all of us like the Doobie Brothers. You think because your wife listening to Steely Dan, everybody likes Steely Dan. KC and the Sunshine Band, yeah, they white, but what they singing about? Do a little dance, make a little love, get down tonight, get down tonight. That's our music. I can't believe you said this. Kenny Loggins.
Mm.
Robin Thicke.
Robin Thicke. Let's just go down to Elton John.
Eminem.
Hello. Come on now. You fell for the old she like my music trick. Well, you done got married. Now she done accused your family of being racist. You and your family. I don't know what y'all have said to her, but I think I know what the problem. She complained that I claim that I'm white on my marriage license and other forms that I have to fill out. Well, now, let's skip the marriage license. She knew you was white when she married you.
He says he's not.
She knew you was white when she married you. Hell, if you wasn't white but you look white, what the hell? The priest told y'all this finna be a problem. You can say you ain't white all you want. Well, whatever.
Albino. All right, email or Instagram us your thoughts on today's Strawberry Letter at My Girl Shirley. Don't forget, coming up next week, we will do our very first. It's going to be Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern. We'll do our very first Strawberry Letter Facebook Live at 1 p.m. Eastern. You can find me at Shirley Strawberry or My Girl Shirley on Facebook. But come on, we'll talk about the Strawberry Letter that particular day. We could talk about letters that have been in your mind from the past. If you have your own personal Strawberry Letter, we can do all that. We'll start it Thursday, next Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern, the live after show on Facebook. Okay, please join us. Steve, introduce our girl.
Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, please put your loving hands together for the one and only, the very talented Miss Ann Tripp.
Cheryl Underwood.
And I was sitting there listening. I was waiting for the news.
You don't remember last hour talking to Miss Ann.
I was waiting for the news. I was waiting, brothers and sisters.
You were listening to Cheryl.
Yeah, because Steve Harvey is my closest and dearest friend. And I'm going to get Steve and Jay for doing an impersonation of me. But I got to shout out my sunrise Zeta Phi Beta. Pi Sigma Zeta chapter is having Sapphire Nights, and I am hosting the Sapphire Night function. It's a dinner, open bar, DJ, and dancing, so I'm hosting this, and it's going to be right outside Cincinnati. Molly's on the Green, 10 Enfield Street in Cincinnati is where the event's going to be. Now, let me talk to you about something that I feel is amazing. I believe that Steve Harvey is my closest and dearest friend in my mind and my heart and my soul. So I want to shout out something that most people don't know. Ready?
What's that, Cheryl?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Now, Steve Harvey doing things, and they always putting people business in the street, how much money they make, Shirley Scriberry.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I ain't going to put Steve business in the street because, you know, God is blessing him. But do you know who the richest superheroes are?
Oh, no.
Who?
That's
who?
Right. See?
Like
see?
Superman and
Superman? No, we talking bigger than the five richest superheroes. Number five is Emma Frost. Y'all know that's the girl from the X-Men's and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She a villain. She worth $1.3 billion. What? Number four, Professor Charles Xavier. See, there's a meaning to this, brothers and sisters. Stay with me and stay woke. Reclaiming my time. Professor Charles Xavier worth $3.5 billion. And then Bruce Wayne from Batman, worth $9.2 billion. There's a meaning to this. Now follow me all the way. Number two is Tony Stark. Iron Man, $12.4 billion. Mm-hmm. Okay, ready, brothers and sisters?
Ready.
Worth $90.7 trillion to T'Challa, the Black Panther. That's right, baby. Stay woke. That's what I'm talking about.
Somewhere, Cheryl, somewhere we come out on top.
That's what
it.
I'm talking about. King of Wakanda, a fictional African country.
Yes.
It's the 90 reserve billion. Of vibranium. Like, vibranium, brothers and sisters. Let me tell you something. This brother, played by Chadwick Boseman, the brother that did James Brown.
Yes. Great actor.
The Black Panther worth $90.7 trillion. In your face. I'm not making this up.
All right,
go
Cheryl,
to the internet.
We do have to go. We love you, but we have to go.
I'm out, Steve Harvey. Let me hold $20.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Steve Harvey Bad Acting Theater with your host, your narrator, me, Shirley Strawberry. Join me as we look in on the Chapmans, the biggest and richest family in Arrogate, Texas. Starring Steve Harvey as Earl Chapman, the pork rind king. He started his pork rind company with a three-legged pig. His former business partner was his wife of 30 years, who passed away suspiciously. Tommy plays his illegitimate child, Chester, who he had with his wife's aunt. Junior, played by Junior, was mysteriously dropped off to the family business when he was a baby in a huge sickle cell crate. And his sister-in-law, KK, played by Carla, is Earl's partner. She's the actual brains of the company. She is only there because her sister left her half of the business. As a child, KK was placed in a foster home by her parents because she walked with a limp. J. Anthony Brown plays Mr. Bogart Simpson, who is determined to destroy Steve and take over his business. And why these two don't get along, I don't know. Let's listen as we hear Earl on the phone.
Yeah, Bogart, I heard what you said. But the day you take over my pork rind business, Monique will be in a Tyler Perry production. And if you got anything you want to say to me, you can say it in my face.
Hang up the phone, punk. I'm right here. I know everything you're doing is shady. I'm gonna shut you down in Arrogate. Because in Arrogate, Texas, there's only one king, you and your three-legged pig. I'm gonna cut off one of his legs, and you're gonna have to leave riding on a two-legged pig. That's what I'm gonna do to you.
Yeah? Well, the day you do that, Monique will be starring in The Color Purple.
Dad, Bogart, this is so stupid. I can't understand why you guys just can't work together. You could be a powerhouse if you combine businesses. Pork rinds and hot sauce. Come on.
Shut up, Junior.
Chester enters the room, Earl's oldest son.
This whole conversation is stupid. You guys fighting over nothing. And don't think I'm thinking about taking over this business. None of this interests me anyway. You know what? I'm studying to be a man.
You so damn stupid. How the hell you gonna be a mime on the radio? In case you ain't noticed, fool, this is a radio soap opera.
A ventriloquist?
Boy, you stupid than I thought you were. How you gonna be a ventriloquist on the radio?
You're such a dream crusher. You know what? Good thing you never met Dr. Martin Luther King, right? He would have never written that I Have a Dream speech. I hate you. I swear, I hate you.
Okay, let me check this text on my phone. Let me see what this say. Okay, you hate me.
Yes.
And Bogart, why are you still here, doggone it? In fact, you need to get the hell out of my house.
Okay, I'm leaving. I'm getting out of your house, but you're going down. You're going down faster than a pair of Kardashian's panties. Hello?
Hey, Bogart. This is KK. I know all of Earl's secrets. I know how to take him down. Meet me behind City Hall tonight at 12 o'clock with a bag of ones, a roll of quarters, and two of those patty pies. And I'll tell you everything you need to know about Earl. And hey, Bogart.
Yeah.
Do not. I repeat, do not forget those patty pies. If you do, we're going to have some serious trouble.
All right.
Join us next week when you'll hear Chester say,
I know what. I'm going to be a sketch artist.
And hear Earl say,
whatever, Bogart. When that happens, Monique and Madea going to be in a buddy movie.
And you'll hear KK say,
oh, Bogart. That's a big stack of ones you got there and such a firm roll of quarters. Whoa, partner, where them patty pies?
And you'll hear Junior say,
I don't know why we focusing on pork rinds, maybe candy. I'm the only one who can save this company.
Shut up, Junior.
Join us next week for the Chapmans. This has been your host, Shirley Strawberry, for Steve Harvey's Bad Acting Theater.
Ooh, wow. That was terrible.
That was pretty bad. We set it up that it was bad.
Bad acting. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
It was an Academy Award acting theater. Mm. It was very, very bad.
Oh, God, don't go to blows, though.
Wow, yeah.
Who was the worst, though?
Who was overacting?
You.
I thought the narrator was pretty good.
Now, Jay, I gotta ask because maybe I grew up in a different area. What is a patty pie?
A patty pie is Patty LaBelle.
Oh, you know that?
Yeah. Oh.
So now, what era you thought you grew up in? Because that came out last year.
Patty, come on, Patty.
I didn't know if it was a peanut butter patty. I didn't know.
Answer the question. What era did you grow up in? Because it just came out last year.
I thought it was something different.
I know one thing. You go to Walmart on the weekends during the holidays, and they are gone.
Did we go too far with the Monique references?
Well, no.
They were funny.
Yeah, they were funny.
Hold on, wait a minute. Did we go? You wrote this.
We didn't write it. You did.
Jay wrote this. We see the script for the first time. Did we go too far? Did you wrote it?
Stay with the writing. And in other words, it's bad acting, so it doesn't matter.
Okay. Yeah. All right. It was bad. I told you. It was bad. It was really bad. Tomorrow morning.
I love it.
Yes.
It's bad. It's so good.
We're so good at being bad.
Tomorrow. Power ain't got nothing on Earl
Chapman. Tomorrow morning, same time, get ready. We will have a brand new episode of the Steve Harvey Morning Show soap opera, The Chapmans. It's bad. All right, up next, Carla's reality update. You don't want to miss this. Please, stay where you are. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, it's that time. Get ready. She is here with reality update.
All right, thank you, nephew. Here we go. Love and Hip Hop Hollywood. All right, this show is crazy. I'm going to update you on last week's episode and tie it all into this week's episode. It was really crazy. Ray J opened up to his homies, his boys, about his struggle to start a family with his new wife, Princess. Now, you know, Princess, she wants to have a baby, but Ray J has infertility issues. One of his friends, A1, he's a producer, rapper. This guy told Ray J that he was smoking cigarettes, you know, just bad vices and bad behavior, which could make his count low. is what he was suggesting to Ray J to, you know, try to be more healthy, eat healthy, and, you know, try to have a healthy lifestyle. So to lighten things up, Ray J, he made a wager with his friends to see who had, now I'm talking about, this is some ratchet TV right here, to see who had the higher sperm count out of his friends.
Why did it matter? He just need to get his up.
Is this the craziest thing you've ever seen?
Why do I need to know this?
Yeah. What'd you say, Steve?
Why do I need to know this, though?
Because you need to be updated on what's happening with Ray J.
Because we love Ray J.
He had the lowest count.
Yeah.
It just got what? Oh, you got
sawdust.
So Ray J, it was a dumb bet on what they had to do. They have to record this song with one of the other cast members, this girl named Hazel Lee. But anyway, Ray J has not told his wife, Princess, about this wager and about what's going on with his infertility issues. Mm-hmm. She's hurt. She's crying. She's upset. She took another pregnancy test, and the test came back negative. And she really, really wants to start a family. And Ray J just said, my swimmers aren't swimming.
He swam heel early all them years. That's what happened. All them years.
His swimmers is exhausted.
They tired. They can't get to the top.
That last leg, something else, boy.
Well, he shot that video with Kim Kardashian.
There you go.
That's where they all went.
He's going to bring that up right there. Godly.
What?
What's up, Ray J? Just want to let you know.
Oh, gosh.
You seen the video?
But
they were swimming then.
Are you done?
Nah, they can't reach the end of the pool. Swim.
What do they do?
They float.
They float.
They just lay on their back. The little tail don't even move.
They just speaking to each other.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Going down the
street. What's going on? You all right?
Okay, finish, Carla.
I'm done. Talking nonsense.
Hey, what's happening, man? All right.
They'll go in there, but they ain't going nowhere. Hey, man, you going up to the egg? No.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to just stay right here.
NeNe Leakes from Real Housewives of Atlanta. She wants you to know that contrary to popular belief, her husband Greg did not have a stroke while filming an episode of Real Housewives of Atlanta. I know you guys probably heard about it in case you missed it. She took to the gram to clear it up. We've gotten tons of text messages, calls, and emails from concerned family and friends because these lion-tailed people don't take family in consideration when they print BS. NeNe is responding to different blogs and different websites where they reported that Greg had a stroke while filming Real Housewives of Atlanta. Now, NeNe admitted that Greg had been sick but denied the stroke, and she finished up by asking folks to keep her and Greg in their prayers. Oh, so there you go. So
awesome. Good.
That's great. We're praying.
News, yeah.
Also, Real Housewives of Atlanta, has been reported that Phaedra Parks is selling her home in Atlanta for $1.5 million. You recall? Yeah, Phaedra. She got fired last season from the franchise show, and that there are reports out there saying that she is selling her home for $1.5 million in Atlanta. Finally, Steve, Game of Thrones. Now, usually we talk about our favorite scripted shows during this segment. We talked about Power on Monday because, you know, we come right to work on Monday after watching Power Sunday night. Steve, you did an update on that. So now Game of Thrones.
He ain't seen Game of Thrones.
He loves Game of Thrones. You don't know that, Tommy.
He love it. He ain't seen this season.
It doesn't matter.
He watches Game of Thrones. I'm telling y'all, Steve really loves the show.
Okay. Let's listen to this.
It doesn't matter.
He's just such a hater.
Steve, you ain't seen Game of Thrones.
Let's listen to him, Carla.
Okay, come on, Steve. Right. Show your nephew.
Well,
come on,
update us on Game of Thrones.
You know, as we all know, little man was on the boat.
Tyrion.
Little man was on the boat. With the dude with the beard that loved the queen, with the dragon.
Yes, that's true.
And, you know, these rock dudes was jumping in the boat. And the thing is, you can't let them touch you because you'll turn to stone eventually.
Right.
And they were whooping them pretty good, getting them out of there. Uh-huh. But somehow one of them had touched the dude with the beard that loved the queen.
Yeah.
That's the chick that got the dragon.
Right. Daenerys
so
Targaryen.
The disease done started on his arm, so he know little bit by little bit his ass finna be a rock.
Right.
So that's deeply concerning.
That's a concern.
Yeah, that's like a
little bit by little bit.
And the storyline is trying to keep him slow down the progression of it.
Yeah.
Because don't nobody want him to be a rock.
Right, that would throw
everybody
like,
something. Because they like her to throw everybody into something. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, in the meantime, the girl that was running around with the hound, she done got loose. She can handle that sword pretty good.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and she been avenging, you know, the loss of her daddy.
That's right.
The one that got his head cut off.
Ned Stark.
Long time ago. Uh-huh. Then his sister, the little punk ass girl that was over there and was sleeping with Joffrey but didn't want to.
Oh, Sansa.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, you know, but didn't know how to escape or nothing like that. Listen to Joffrey's old mama. But Joffrey's mama.
Cersei.
Yeah, Joffrey's mama sleeping with her brother.
Yeah, Cersei.
They,
yes.
They banged.
Cersei.
So, you know, if they had, like, Joffrey is probably his son. That's what was wrong with Joffrey.
Yeah, he was
you
crazy.
Know, once you have him, he wasn't crazy. There was something wrong with him.
Now, you know Joffrey is dead,
yeah,
right?
Joffrey
Steve?
Dead. He got poisoned. Little man, but they thought little man did it, but he got on the boat and got out.
Right.
So I'll bring you up to date in this just a little bit. Just hold
on. Okay. That was, what, two
seasons
ago?
You better watch it, baby. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, so back in part two of Carla's reality update, Steve was giving us an update on Game of Thrones, which he hasn't seen, but he has seen.
Well, you know, I've seen it until I can get you to where I'm going. You know what I'm saying? Then when the young dude that was over there messing with the people in the snow.
The White Walkers?
White Walkers. Walker. He slept with the little redhead girl over there in the White Walker.
Yes.
John Snow. Yeah,
but he really couldn't affiliate with her because the White Walkers didn't like him.
Right.
The White Walkers.
Oh, the Wildlings. You're talking about the Wildlings.
White Walkers are the one with the
dead. Those are the dead.
The White Walkers. Now, they come all over the mountain and fall on each other and die.
Yes.
They commit suicide, then their ass get up.
Yeah.
Whoa, they scary. How you kill somebody and they still living? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they were trying to, and they escaped on the boat and everything.
Right.
And everybody had thought that the dude that was in charge of everybody, Stark, was dead. Because he had got killed.
Oh, you're talking about Jon Snow.
Jon Snow.
Ned Stark's bastard son.
Right. Yeah. That's what he is, a Stark, really.
Yeah, he is.
But he a Snow.
Yeah.
That's why they put his ass up on that wall.
Out there in the snow.
Because he was a knight, so white knights of what? He was out there in that snow.
Yeah.
But he was really his son.
Right.
But then, you know, the little dude killed.
Tyrion.
Tyrion.
The little dude killed his daddy. Uh-huh. Because he got tired of punking him and everything.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so the dude, he came back from the dead snow, and he lied.
Excuse me, Steve. Are you doing an update on the whole series of
Game of
Thrones?
I'm just getting you to the last one I saw.
Okay.
We ain't got the season five.
So you ain't seen the new season? Go ahead, sir.
So I know the big-ass white girl.
Oh, yeah, Brienne of Tarr.
Brianna,
That whoop all the dudes.
Yes.
I know she has saved somebody. I couldn't remember who it was.
She saved Sansa, because, Sansa.
Who is Sansa?
With
Sansa's
the redhead.
The redhead girl.
Jon Snow's
the one that couldn't escape.
She make me so sick with her little ties.
But now she you would like her now.
Well, yeah, she always she's, look like she's crying and stuff.
Yeah.
Quit crying and do something. Man, get yourself a dragon or something.
Since you're talking about old stuff.
And then the white girl with the dragon.
Get you a dragon.
That's,
she gained weight.
The beast right there.
She don't even look like the same girl no more because she picking up weight.
Khaleesi?
Khaleesi picking up weight. Khaleesi bigger than she was. She didn't gain weight in real life.
Why she gaining weight?
Cause you know them dragons. She eating dragon food.
What dragon food, idiot?
While they filming it.
What do dragons eat?
I don't know, but that's what she eating. Cause she just picking up weight. And the damn dragon had her. She's so heavy. The dragon damn near dropped her.
What happened to the dragon?
Yeah. Then, you know, it's hard, you know, because she the dragon's mama, but she got dragon characteristics, you know.
What do you mean, dragon?
That's why she can't keep him, because she got hot breath. I know her breath hot, because every time a man come over there, he be trying to just hang in there with her. She used to be kind of fly, you know, she picking up weight, you know.
Dragon food.
I love thickness, her. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, but she look good thick, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
And so I think that's really.
So now are we updated?
I'm exhausted.
So that's where you at?
We have to pay
these
attention.
These seasons is wearing me out.
Wait till you see this season.
It's so good. Yeah,
especially
but it was all
four.
Out. Did I get up to date with before this season?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, you did
pretty
much.
Yeah.
In conclusion.
Yeah.
Probably do this another year or two. Because ain't nobody finna believe this no more. Right. You can't keep killing people, Raymond.
We will be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, listen up, you guys. Scottish whiskey company Grant has a few new job openings that sound amazing. All right, listen to this.
Tommy?
Yes, sir.
Just right up your alley.
I knew it. They're looking, Tommy, for 3 global drinks ambassadors.
Tommy can do all 3.
Now, let me tell you what they want from these people. They want them to literally be paid to drink whiskey and travel the world visiting whiskey drinking events.
Boy.
Ooh.
As much heat and drink without
every
pay.
Day.
Here's what
Hold on.
What?
Every day. And yeah. The problem?
That's a lot, Uncle Steve. Now, that is a lot. But we got to see what the check is now. How much is it?
Okay, well, let me tell you how to get the job. To get the job, the winning candidates are going to have to pass 2 rounds of interviews, use social media to post a drink they've created on Instagram with the hope that it will show their personality, okay? Each of these 3 new hires will get a different territory. One will be sent to Poland, one will be sent to Israel, and one will be sent to India, another to South Africa and Colombia, while the third will cover Russia, Taiwan, and France.
You know what?
Come on.
Where would you want to go, Tommy? South Africa?
No.
I don't know what Poland? Israel?
It's too cold up there.
Israel?
I don't think you have no liquor up there.
The land
of the Holy Land in Jerusalem?
You talking about Colombia, Tommy?
How about Colombia. Taiwan and France, Russia?
Just don't mention your uncle.
I can't go to Colombia because Steve, I get in trouble behind him.
He can't get
Yeah. He can't come down there and get me. Uh-uh. He messed up with them last year.
Yeah, you have to be down there forever. They got any openings in the land of Lilliputian?
Where? Where's that?
The land of Lilliputian.
Where's that? I don't know.
Gulliver's Travels?
Where all the little people at?
See, there we go.
I told you they're drinking whiskey with you.
Hell yeah. Selling out.
They don't say how much you'll get paid, Tommy, though. But
he
interesting.
Don't care.
Why you say that? He does care.
That seems like a fun job.
It does.
We gotta get some money, though. We gotta get paid for it.
Well, you get to drink and travel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I gotta have a check.
Well, why are you over there? Why don't you...
Big booty whiskey, though. I got a big booty whiskey drink. You'll love that.
What's in it?
Whiskey.
And what else?
I got an idea how you can make money.
Big booties.
Booties.
What can you do? How can you make money, huh?
All you got to do is go over there and throw one of them plays.
See that. He always goes there, right?
In Lilliputian.
Always go there.
He know he wrong. Back, that's why he be laughing.
You bring back who stole Papa Ray's drink. And they ain't seen
Papa Ray's whiskey?
Who stole Papa Ray drink?
Who stole Papa Ray with a liquor sponsor?
Boy.
Get Ciroc. Everybody drinks Ciroc.
Crown Royal presents.
So it's a no, Tommy? You don't want the job?
No, I'm a pass.
You get to travel.
What?
Come on. All right, we'll be back to wrap up the show with just one more thing. This crazy show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Here we are back with just one more thing as we close out this morning's show. It's been a good morning.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Crazy morning. All right, a bear takes an SUV and leaves calling card. Yogi would be impressed. With the Durango, Colorado bear. A mischievous bear caused a lot of chaos by breaking into an SUV. Not only did the bear get into the vehicle, but he drove it until it crashed into a neighbor's mailbox. Okay,
what?
That's one thing. But wait.
Going?
That's not all. As a bonus, he ripped out the radio and the steering wheel, broke the back window, and trashed the interior. All of this happened in minutes. And last but not least, the bear pooped.
I'm going to leave you something.
He pooped in the SUV. Something. What?
This is not by accident.
Yeah. No. Ain't nothing worse than bear hockey.
This bear know that family.
Yeah, he did that on purpose.
Nothing worse than bear hockey.
What'd you say? This bear know that family.
He know this family.
This is crazy.
That's crazy.
I love it though.
But why trash? What was he thinking?
Like, he took the steering wheel.
This family. You won't. Look, he had been coming down there for a couple years eating out the trash.
Yeah. Mm.
Then they're going to get a bear lock put on the trash.
Oh.
They've been coming down here for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Come down for dinner every evening.
Yeah.
They're going to put a bear lock on their trash.
On their trash can.
Oh, man.
He just going to, they're going to close the restaurant, don't notify him. He said, all right, I'll tell you what. I'm going to break in this damn truck. I'm going to tear the radio out the stairwell. I'm going to rip up all the cushions. I'm going to break all the windows in it. And before I leave,
yeah.
I'm in the sugar honey iced tea all over this raggedy.
That is crazy.
I'm in the sugar honey iced tea all over this raggedy ass truck.
Hey, when he got to the trash can with the bad lock on, what happened?
He walked up to the do 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 do.
He plays the best band.
You were so crazy.
I know good hell.
What did he say?
The band said, I know good hell well. I'm looking at well, they ain't closed it down restaurant. They ain't told nobody.
Don't told nobody.
I've been coming down here 2 years, you know, right here.
What?
Oh. So we play it like that, huh?
He is so
he went on back up in the hill.
Yeah.
And he was sitting there, so his partner go, man, did you enjoy your dinner last night? I won't talk about you. So man, you ain't go down there to the Harper's place with me. On top of it. So what else? They put bear lock on the door. Say what?
What?
They put bear lock on the door. They put a bear lock on it and locked you out. Just the other bear.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That's awful. They just used and abused you. Oh, no.
Trying to really hit it right now.
What are you going to do about it? I'll show you. I'm going out here tomorrow. I'm going down here tomorrow. You know, going out here. Do 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 do. I'm in the damn door. Oh, hell, they left the SUV door. Oh, ain't nothing to eat in here either. Well, let me go and tear these damn seats up right here. Rip out this radio and go and tear this damn wheel out there. Pull all these windows out of here. How you like me now? I'm going to drop it in drive, running into the mailbox. But all these windows. Hold on, Fargo. Hold on, Fargo.
What is that?
Yeah.
You know what it is.
You know what it is. That's sugar honey IT, baby. All over there down the car.
Go back in the woods, huh?
I'm going on. Do 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 do
do do do do do do silly, silly.
Or should I say do 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 do
do do do do do do
do do do do.
All right, more animal news. Traffic on a Washington State highway. Steve.
Go ahead.
Traffic on a Washington State highway came to a standstill when an escaped pig suddenly appeared on the shoulder. Police say the pig. What? Yeah, had
Boy,
been.
My daddy would have hit that pig so fast in that car, that ass, his ass would have been in the trunk.
Okay, police say the pig had been traveling in a truck that was transporting pigs to an auction when it somehow saw daylight and made a run for it. The pig jumped off the truck, headed southbound on the 5 as motorists stopped to watch and snarl traffic. Eventually, some drivers got out of their cars to help troopers guide this pig to the shoulder. About an hour later, the driver who lost the pig returned to pick him up. Police say the pig was uninjured but not happy about going back on the truck.
Hell no. You know what you're on the truck. You know where you going. Pork belly's up, baby.
He ain't seen his brothers, mama, daddy. Nobody came back. Oh, man.
Right.
God, dog. Pig on the run.
That pig was nervous.
These animals are fed up.
I know.
He got tired.
Come on, just
he
let me.
Knew. He knew when he was on
he
that
knew.
Truck. Yeah.
Just let me ride in the backseat. Come on, we can leave now. Would you leave now?
He told the rest of them pigs, Y'all know where we're going.
Yeah.
You know this is it.
When we get this stop sign, I'm jumping out of here.
Happen to all of them.
All right, Steve, take us home. This
Ladies
is it.
And gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Have yourself a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
Okay. It's Thursday. We can let them make it on Thursday.
Yeah. It's Thursday.
Thursday's okay. It's Thursday.
I keep telling y'all, keep hope alive.
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old, unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit steveharvey.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.